This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Gonna launch a three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0 Run in Galesburg. Your spot for custom fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning. What day? Yeah, it's Saturday already. A tradition that began back in 1979 on this great local radio station that's now located in downtown Aledo. And yes, folks, on this 30th day of December, the Christmas tree in downtown Aledo is still lit, everyone. I'm looking at it. Yeah, we're still trying to figure out what day of the week it is here between the holidays, but it is Saturday, and we have a great day of programming coming up. Is in the 1 o'clock hour, Rockridge plays in the semifinals of the Western Macomb Holiday Tournament. We were looking at a potential rematch with Illini Bluffs, the team the Rockets lost to a few weeks ago, but West Hancock spoiled that rematch as they beat Illini Bluffs, and then the Rockets take care of business last night, and they beat Farmington. So Rockridge and the semifinals against West Hancock at 1 o'clock, and if they're victorious, they would play at the championship. The championship game tonight would be around 9:30 at the earliest. But prior to that, we'll have championship basketball with the Mercer County Golden Eagle boys, who rallied from a halftime deficit. I think they trailed for most of the game and beat the Kewaunee Boilermakers and play for the Cliff Workins Memorial Classic Tournament title against the Beecher Bobcats. I was listening, Ty Taylor, to that game at the very end, coming home, I think a five-point lead. And Kewaunee, hit a three-pointer to pull within two, and then they called the intentional foul late. Yeah. Is that right? We're trying to steal the ball with 4 seconds. I'm like, they're going to get a steal and throw in the ball and win the game?
Yeah, well, I thought it was I thought Mercer County turned the ball over and it went out of bounds off of Mercer County, but they whistled an intentional foul. That was the second time Kewaunee was called for an intentional foul in that game last night. They were assessed two technicals, and Mercer County shot 32 free throws in that game last night and won by four. 68-64 was the final ended up being. It was one of the strangest high school basketball games I've ever seen, as it felt like the whole game Mercer County is playing uphill because they turned it over on their first five possessions of the game last night and trailed the entire first half. Kewaunee led by as many as six. But yeah, like I said with Coach Cheatham after the game, if you shoot 32 free throws, it's a problem if you lose that game. And Mercer County able to win. I think they got some help from the officiating last night, but still a nice win. I think Kewaunee's a good team, and Mercer County will play for a championship against Beecher tonight, who is undefeated at 15-0.
Now, do you think then the free throw rule that's in effect this year impacted how many free throws they shot in the game? If you understand what I'm saying, if we played by the old rule, would they still shot 32 free throws?
I don't know, really. I mean,
I say no because there's one and ones. I mean,
right.
that changes the impact of the game. There's no more one and ones in high school basketball.
Because there was a stretch in the second quarter where Kewaunee got a very borderline intentional foul called against them, and then a technical on their bench after that call, and then they got a technical for a kid saying something after a basket. And then there was a foul where Mercer County was close to turning it over in the backcourt, and Kewaunee would have had a layup, but they called a foul with Kewaunee kind of pressuring the ball in the backcourt. So there was a 2-minute stretch in the second quarter where they basically you know, gifted Mercer County 8 free throws, and they only went 4 of 8 over those 8. And I thought, you know, during that time, it's like that's the stretch where you're going to look back and say, man, we really didn't capitalize off of that. But the second half, Mercer County played really well. I think outscored Kewaunee 17-10 in the third quarter and led basically the entire fourth quarter, I think. So, yeah, like I said, it was a nice win and another tough test tonight with them playing Beecher.
So it's interesting, and I didn't realize this until broadcasting the game last night, and I think the free throw rule is a huge difference maker in close games when two very good teams are playing. I saw it in the Illini Bluffs Rock Ridge game a few weeks ago, and then last night I thought it came into play too, where in the third quarter a whole bunch of fouls where both teams get to the line, you reset with the fourth quarter, and it starts over, and the pace of play in the fourth quarter was completely different, where there were virtually no fouls and no free throws until the very end of the quarter. And then in overtime, and I didn't know this until last night, the fouls do not reset.
Yeah.
So they carry over, and you're automatically in the double bonus if you have 5 team fouls at the end of the regulation time. So that's an interesting dynamic with the rule, that's for sure.
Well, I think the way I've seen the rule affect games this year is like Mercer County, when they played Farmington, if it wasn't for the new foul rule, would have lost because they led basically the whole game. But in the fourth quarter, they, I think, went something like 4 of 18 from the free throw line. And if I remember right, there's 9 trips to the line and they didn't make the front end one time. So, I mean, those are a few extra points, you know, off of where if you miss the front end of the 1-1, you don't get the second free throw. Now you're guaranteed to shoot 2 every trip. So, you know, that's the way I've seen it kind of affecting a game this year. And, yeah, like you said, I mean, it makes it, I think, harder for teams to come back in the fourth quarter when the team that's leading is given, you know, 2 free throws instead of the opportunity for potentially 1 if you miss the front end.
Yeah, I agree. I missed the 1-1 free throw.
So you're going to Macomb. Are you excited to see the shot clock in action today?
Yeah, so you see that. You see the new foul. I don't know really at high-level boys basketball how much of an impact shot clock's going to have.
I think it will only have an impact in the last, like, 3 minutes of close games because I know a lot of teams, like, and this is why I would be in favor of it. I just hate how when teams are up, you know, and in the final few minutes of the game, they just stop playing basketball and just play keep away.
Well, even with the shot clock, they still do it.
No, I know, but you then at least have to
shoot.
I mean,
every multi-million-dollar coach in less than 4 minutes, you know, the under 4 minute timeout in college basketball, what do? They run it down to 2 seconds and take a terrible shot.
But
that's old man Jim talking.
Well, that's what Grandpa would say in Hampton too. But I think that it just isn't fun to watch, really. You know, it just kind of takes the enjoyment away from the fan perspective. And I get the strategy of it and everything because you want to win, but, like, it's not as enjoyable to watch when a team you know isn't going to try to score. They're just going to hold on to the ball and pass it around. So I'm in favor of a shot clock coming to high school basketball, and I think it's going to in the state. I know they have it in Iowa, so it'll be interesting to see. I don't know how much of an impact it's had at Macomb. I think I saw, like, in the first session there was 1 shot clock violation on whatever day it was of the week. I think the tournament started Thursday over there. So, yeah, you'll get to see that today. That's kind of exciting. And I think an interesting field where last night we had the championship game with Sherrard playing an undefeated Byron team. Mercer County tonight in the championship at Erie plays Beecher, who's undefeated, and Rock Ridge. Potentially, they get to the championship, could match up with Camp Point Central, who hasn't lost yet either. So, should be, hopefully, the Rockets get to the championship, and we have 3 championship games over 2 days on the air.
And then, Sherrard and Rock Ridge will play Beecher at the Wharton Fieldhouse shootout in a couple of weeks.
They also each play Leo out of Chicago there. So, yeah, that's and I've been really impressed with Beecher. I would put them, like, looking at Mercer County's matchup with them, I think the 2 best teams they've played so far have been Rock Ridge and Sherrard, and I think Beecher is definitely in that echelon of teams in the state. So another test for Mercer County, like we said, and those should be a couple of fun matchups too. Like you said, at Wharton Fieldhouse, Beecher will play both Rock Ridge and Sherrard over the Martin Luther King holiday Saturday, and then the Monday into the holiday is when they play those games across those 2 days. So yeah, it should be another good matchup there.
Now, I did you hear many of the details. So the Mercer County girls, was it a 5-point difference with Lena Winslow last night? Was it 40 to 35?
They led by 8 at the end of the third quarter and got outscored 17-4 in the fourth to lose.
Eagles led by 8 at the end of 3?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So that would have been a 6 o'clock title girls game followed by 7th.
But they played at Prophet's.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So. You would have been able to work that.
We would have been like, John Hoshite, what are you doing, man?
He would say, hey, you could get from Prophet's down to Erie.
Or we could call in someone else. I don't know. We'd have to go deep into the archives. Or we could call Kyle's here. We could say, Kyle, want to do basketball
you
tonight?
You could say, your aunt's a probation officer at Whiteside County, so you can violate every traffic law to get from Prophet's Town to Erie.
So they would have played Weathersfield in the championship. Weathersfield beat Monmouth Roseville last night.
8-point lead at the end of 3.
Yep.
Against Lena Winslow. All right, and then last night, man, what a great game between Sherrard and Byron, who's ranked 9th in 2A, and they're a legit 2A team. Their talent level, they have basically their 5 starters, basically kind of the same frame, 6'3", all pretty good athletes, and they bring a football body off the bench, a 6-foot kid, Considine is his last name, so he comes from that family of athletes up there, and he scored 9 points off the bench. But you know, it was one of those games where Sherrard had a chance, and they're playing the 9th team in the state, and they have 18 turnovers and still have a chance to win. And then, you know, you magnify 7 of 15 from the line. I think I had them in the third quarter. But James Blackwell made a shot as time expired with about 2 seconds, a little left-handed finish in the lane to tie it at 35-35. But then just costly turnovers early in the overtime for Sherrard. I think they were outscored maybe 11-2 or something like that. I can't remember.
What was the crowd like over there last night?
Good home crowd. Byron had a decent following. You know the other interesting thing about that field over there? This is like a did you know. That field, officiating-wise, featured 3 school district superintendents.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Mr. Bush from Rock Ridge, Dave Gilliland, who I think is the superintendent now at Stockton, and then the Riverdale superintendent is an official. So I guess Carl Johnson at Sherrard, he's going to have to become an official, and I'll have to kid Mr. Petrie at Mercer County, and maybe Jeff Witsit down at United. They can all become officials. You know, like Sam Knox, I see with the IHSA, he officiates, and Matt Troha's even officiating.
Well, and you know, talking about that game, though, with Byron and Sherrard, I was watching some of it from Erie, and the thing that I think, you know, we talk about Sherrard, how they've turned the corner, and I think they're, you know, an elite team this year, and they gave Byron everything that they could handle. I think Byron has just kind of crushed everybody they've played, basically, so far this season. And just watching that, I know the big shot in the overtime was kind of a deep three they hit initially to take the lead. And you could tell that, like, Byron and the fans you could see from the camera were on their side. They were, you know, jacked up to beat Sherrard. And I think that says a lot to where Sherrard has kind of turned that program around, where a team, you know, in the top 10 was, you know, really, really excited to be able to beat them in kind of a dogfight game. So it's unfortunate, though. I think Sherrard really could have turned some heads if they won last night, because I said, you know, before the game, like, if they would have beat Byron, I think they would have started to get some maybe top 10 votes, you know. I mean, that would have really been kind of a win where people around the state would have took notice of Sherrard. But they'll enter the 2024 portion of their schedule 11-2. I think they go against Orion Wednesday, Erie Prophetstown next Friday, which are both, you know, definitely winnable games. So a chance for them to get to 13-2. And then they play Knoxville, I think, the Saturday following the Erie Provincetown game. So that's another game they should win, too. So I think that when we talk about this yesterday with Coach Seedam, too, when you look at the boys basketball subsectional that the schools we cover are going to be in, I think when you look at the seeding, I think it's a pretty safe assumption that Rock Ridge will be seeded first and Sherrard will be seeded second. But from there, you know, like 3 through 8, you look at Monmouth, Roseville, Mercer County, Kewaunee, Macomb, Orion is in there,
well,
too.
And the Eagles with a win over Kewaunee last night, their top 4 seed, I think.
I think so,
and
too.
You know, got to.
Well, it depends, though. You know, I don't know how much.
Yeah, you can't lay an egg is what you're saying,
right,
in the league.
I mean, that's the thing, too, is I think the one thing, and I've said this before, too, is like they're going to rack up a ton of wins in the second half of the season, but I don't know how much, you know, a lot of those, how much weight a lot of those wins will carry when you look at postseason seeding. I think the loss that's going to hurt them is Monmouth-Roseville, because I don't think they have an argument to be seated above Monmouth-Roseville losing to them head-to-head. But, you know, a win over Macomb for them, a win over Kewaunee. They lost to Orion earlier in the season. They don't get a chance to redeem that loss.
It's interesting, though, how the seeding will work, because now Macomb, they beat Monmouth-Roseville last night, right?
No.
Who did Macomb play last? Oh, Camp.
Macomb played Abingdon-Avon.
Macomb played Abingdon-Avon.
Monmouth-Roseville played Camp Point Central.
Okay, what was the spread of the Monmouth-Roseville Camp Point Central game?
I think they lost by like 13. It was like a three-point game at halftime, though. Okay.
And Camp Point Central is undefeated.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing, I look at that Sherrard-Byron game last night, and this is just one of those things, and Coach Johnson didn't say it on the post game last night, but I was thinking it. You got to win that game.
I agree.
I mean, you got to beat that team. You had a chance to beat them, and, you know, it was just turning the ball over. You can't do that in those type of games. There were, it was a 32-31 game in the fourth quarter. Sherrard had the ball twice with a chance to take the lead. Turnovers, you know, in crunch time. And then I think their first two possessions in overtime are turnovers. And Byron played a 1-3-1 kind of half court. Now, I wouldn't say trap, but they extended their point. They have a 6'3 kid that plays the point of it. And they played that 1-3-1 the whole game. And then you look at, you know, you live by the three and you die by the three. And Sherrard, I mean, even though they had 18 turnovers, they had tremendous shot opportunities from the perimeter that they just couldn't hit. Last night, they made 1-3 last night. Yeah. Well, I think 1 of 16 from beyond the arc.
They've struggled. I shouldn't say struggled. They've been inconsistent from three, and I think that's the one thing where if they can get it going from beyond the arc, they'll be a really, really elite-level team. But, yeah, I agree that Sherrard, I think the thing that they haven't done yet is they haven't got, like, the big win. You know, I think they've had two, you know, marquee type games this year that they've played in, and they came up short against Rock Ridge, and then again last night against Byron. They'll get another shot at Rock Ridge in a couple of weeks, or I should say about a month. They played Beecher coming up in a couple of weeks too. I know they will match up with Dixon later in the second half of the season, who's off to a really nice start. They beat Tutopolis yesterday in triple overtime.
Sherrard's playing Dixon?
Yeah.
Well, and then I was talking to we had the Byron head coach on our pregame. They're 11-0, and so in that Big Northern this year, you have, of course, Rockford Lutheran, Rockford Christian, you have Dixon, and you have Rock Falls. And then you throw in Byron, and, you know, Winnebago normally is no slouch either with Coach Murphy and all the things they've done over the years and the matchups they had with Rock Ridge in the postseason. That's a good small school basketball conference. And then I didn't realize the coach from Byron told me yesterday, Rockford Lutheran, they've won 42 straight conference games in that league, man.
That's crazy.
Of course, the back-to-back years in the super sectional, Rock Ridge has played Rockford Lutheran in tremendous games, that's for sure. But that's a good basketball league when you throw in those teams.
And you mentioned Byron, what they did in football, you know, I mean, or, you know, you referenced that. So they, you know, went 14-0, won the 3A state title, and just demolished everybody they played. I mean, they were like a warpath all year long, and they broke the record for touchdowns in a single season IHSA football, and they're 11-0 in boys basketball. So you talk about the success they've had, you know, athletically this year. I mean, those are kids who win games, and they were able to pull it out last night. You talked about Byron's head coach Matt Hules. He sent me an email last night at 12:11 a.m. and he asked if he could get a copy of our radio broadcast of the game against Sherrard. He said he grew up on local radio calls of high school sports. He said he'd love to listen to the game, and it was fun. Said he was really impressed with Sherrard, too. So,
oh, that's cool.
I love that email. He sent it at 12:11 a.m., and I responded at 12:13 because I was still up. I had just got home.
Now,
he's probably like, this guy needs to get a life.
No, it's funny because they're a local station that normally covers them. They cover a lot of teams up in that area. There's a radio station in Rochelle, and their frequency is also 102.3 FM.
Yeah.
So
Were they there?
No, they cover like Byron, they cover Winnebago, they cover Rochelle, they cover a lot of those teams up in the Stillman Valley, a lot of the teams in the Big Northern area. But
there was a station covering Kewaunee last night, by the way.
Oh, there was?
Yep, they weren't there the first 2 days, but they were there last night for that good. Game. Yep.
Did you talk to them at all? Or
no, I was kind of...
It was probably Russ Hughes, or was it Bob McKee, I wonder?
I couldn't tell. It's hard to tell because you're kind of set up far away from the other crew. DJ Tony was there.
He covers the Fulton Steamers for KCLN.
Well, you'll get to see a ton of people over
there. Sean Temple will be there today, right? Who else?
Justice.
Yeah, Justice Keane.
Will West Hancock have anybody doing them, you think?
I don't know if the station out of Carthage will be broadcasting.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, that's always a good, like, radio row at Macomb, especially that last day you're stuck there for, like, 15 hours. Well, got to see if you can get paid overtime today.
Yeah. So it's interesting because Rock Ridge is going for the fifth?
Fifth. Which I believe would tie the record. Macomb has won five as well. And obviously they've been in that field since 1946, where I don't know how many years Rock Ridge has been in it, but they've won four, I think, all since it was 2013 was the first one they won. So Rock Ridge has kind of run that tournament. I know Eureka's won two in a row. They got beaten the first round this year. But in recent history, Rock Ridge has kind of been the king of the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament, which is always a good field. So a chance for them to get their fifth today, but they're going to have to, you know, beat two really good teams to do it.
Do you know much about West Hancock? Now, West Hancock, though...
They beat Illini Bluffs twice.
Twice, okay.
And I believe they're now 11-2. So they're good. I mean, they're a good team, and they're normally a proud basketball tradition. I believe... I don't know if they've played Monmouth Roseville yet. I think they beat Monmouth Roseville, though, this season so far. And then, you know, Macomb and Camp Point Central is the other semifinal. So we could maybe get an Olympic Conference championship game at the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament tonight. Is that what you're rooting for?
You know, no, well, it is what it is.
You could be dueling with Justice in the championship
game. I would like to... Well, they have... I thought they get... There was only one video crew that could do that, though. Like, they sold the rights.
Oh, I have no idea. So, oh, maybe that's true, yeah.
But I think he's helping them out. I'm interested to see Camp Point Central.
Yeah, me too.
Play because they haven't lost anything yet.
And they're
year.
Like Byron. Were yep. They've
well, but Byron. So Byron,
state football
though,
champions and undefeated in boys basketball.
But so Byron, I think their coach told me only one football kid.
Oh, really?
That's kind of in their mix plays, okay. And that's the Considine kid, and he's a stud. You can tell he's got the football.
And his dad, played in the NFL, right?
Yeah, an Iowa grad. So, and then I want to see Camp Point Central because I think a lot of those kids that played football are on that team. And then, you know, playing on the extended floor is always interesting. And when you talk about playing the two games in one day there.
Well, yeah, and, you know, for Rock Ridge, we talk about it. They're not super deep. They play, you know, basically a six-man rotation where, you know, Well, they're going to either way, whether they play for the championship or for third place tonight, they're going to play, you know, four games across 3 days. And, you know, the extended floor and, you know, with the shot clock, you play a little bit of a quicker pace. There's going to be more trips up and down the floor, too. So that's kind of an interesting thing to monitor there. Hopefully they can stay out of foul trouble. But you know, that's going to be a challenge to beat West Hancock, I think. I mean, they're no slouch. And I was hoping they'd get another crack at the Illini Bluffs, but you know, West Hancock, obviously having beaten them twice is a good team. So that should be a fun matchup. I think 1 o'clock tip off with pregame at 12:30. Glenn Cook going? Have you heard from him?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm going to see if Cade Sharp wants to do the championship game with me.
Yeah, tonight. Well, and I'm
and
telling
then
you,
I'm going to see if Ryan Wilker will come on at halftime.
I'm sure he will.
Good.
Well, and hopefully a lot of people from the Mercer County School District can get up to Erie for that game tonight. That's a great place to see a game, good environment.
Yeah, it'd
be nice to see a lot of fans there because there's a good atmosphere in that small gym when you can get people there. Because I know the one year Mercer County, the girls got to the title game and they played Weathersfield, I thought was one of the best atmospheres at that tournament other than when Riverdale played Fulton the 1 year on the boys' side.
That was like a regional championship type game. I remember that Riverdale Fulton game a couple of years ago. I think, you know, obviously Beecher won't have a big crowd being, you know, nearly 3 hours away. But I was talking to their coach. They're staying in Rock Falls. They've been staying at a hotel in Rock Falls all week. So it's funny because they show up to the game and they're there like so much of the day because they have like nothing else to do, you know, so they'll show up on their little mini bus and their kids have been
the only other
paying thing a lot of money at the concession stand at Erie.
The only other thing they can do is go fishing in the Rock River.
Yeah. And they probably, the kids probably didn't bring enough money to go to Candlelight Inn over and over again either.
Yeah. All right.
Also, by the way, their boys basketball coach, Tyler Shireman is his name. He's the first base coach on the softball team at Beecher, who, of course, like we see them all the time with, it's like they play Rock Ridge every year at the state tournament. I think Rock Ridge and Beecher have combined to win the last six softball state titles in 2A, so it's cool we'll get to get them on the air in boys basketball this year. We'll have them on three times. Yeah. As we said earlier, they'll play Sherrard and Rock Ridge later in the year.
And then, so the Beecher head softball coach, Kevin Hayhurst, right? That's his name. Yeah. He coached Eddie Curry in high school basketball. Yeah, who was a first-round draft pick of the Chicago Bulls.
I think there's a Hayhurst.
See all the stuff you know.
Right, I think there's a Hayhurst on the roster for Beecher on their boys basketball team, too. But they're good. Speaking about, I mean, I've seen them play. They have five kids.
Well, that must be the coach's, the softball coach's son.
Five kids who can all shoot it. They're very long, very athletic. They're good. I said to Coach Seedam off the air last night, they remind me of Rock Ridge in a little bit in the sense, like, their top five are very good and play very connected with each other. They're good. It'll be Mercer County's got to play very well to try to beat them tonight. But I'm looking forward to it. Should be a nice test for the Golden Eagles heading into the new year.
All right. And coming up out of the break, we'll hear from Eric Hutchins. Of course, his late father, they honor him with the naming of the basketball tournament at Sherrard, the Mike Hutchins Holiday Classic. And Eric Hutchins gave me a T-shirt last night. I gave it to Tatum, so I don't know if you want that T-shirt.
What size is it?
I can't remember. So you can fight her for it.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I do want it. What does it say?
Mike Hutchins Holiday Classic on it.
Yeah, I'll be going over to you guys' house and after we get off the air.
Well, go ahead, fight her on it.
Steal it. Yeah.
So when I started in this career, Mike Hutchins was the AD at Sherrard and a great guy and loved high school athletics, and Sherrard's doing it the right way with that tournament. Great setup. And I love Eric Hutchins on the PA.
Yeah.
I love how he gets into it when he announces the Sherrard Tigers starting lineup. And he does it the right way when he announces the visiting team. I love it, man.
Yeah. He does it like it's an NBA game. Yeah. The thing I like about, I was listening to the first half of the Sherrard Byron game last night while I was waiting to go on the air at Erie, and you could hear him in the background during the starting lineup. And when he announced Noah Fender's name, he held like the no for like 15 seconds. It was awesome. I was like, is that, I don't even know.
And then he does the visitors so good. He's like 6'2 junior Ryan Tucker, 6'1 senior Bob Johnson, 6'1 junior Bob Johnson, 6'1. And now!
Yeah, it's great. And I told him, you know, and you'll hear in an interview, he loves the Sherrard Tigers, and I think that the tournament they put on, like you said, it was run so well. The setup's great. That school is just a great setup for a tournament with all the gyms they have, and all the people involved over there did a great job putting it on, and I know you'll hear with Eric, you know, it meant a lot to the Hutchins family that it's named after his dad. So.
Okay, so I got one funny story to tell you about about the tournament. So I was calling Alex Johnson yesterday, and this was during the JV tournament. And I said, hey, how's everything going over there today? And I'm not going to name the school that was involved, and it wasn't Sherrard. And he said, during the JV tournament, 3 minutes into a game, 3 minutes into the start of a game, a parent was upset about something and just took their kid off the bench during the course of the game and left. Could you imagine doing that?
It's crazy.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
You know, unless crazy. The kid is being physically harmed, which, you know, it's not in the course of a basketball game. And
you're like harassed.
And you're like, this is a holiday tournament. This is where we're going to make our stand at 9:30 in the morning.
Well, yeah, that's
on
the
a
thing.
Friday.
Why even make the trip then if that's what you're going to do 3 minutes into the game? What a waste of time.
But, yeah, man, there's some, man, just some crazy stuff that goes on.
Well, and that's too when you hear, like, why, you know, like that makes you wonder, like, why you even bother wanting to coach when stuff like that happens. I mean, there's just so many instances you see with, like, parental stuff that it just is like, man, sometimes people just got to take a deep breath. And it's no way it's ever that serious where you need to, you know, pull a kid off the bench and leave the game 3 minutes into the game.
So what is the coach even supposed to say? Bye.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. All right, so we'll hear from Eric Hutchins. Also, I want to play back the audio with Alex Johnson. His postgame wasn't on the airwaves yesterday because we transitioned from one game to the other, and I think that went smoothly last night, I believe.
I have no idea if it did or not. I don't know.
Well, John never texted me that it didn't, so normally if there's some issue, I always...
Right.
And John's always listening closely, so I appreciate that. I like the text exchange last night, too, right after the game about what we're going to do today.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, is anybody going to ask me what I want to do?
No.
So I'm going to Macomb.
Well, yeah. It's just hard. I mean, that's just... There's only two of us, you know? I mean, yeah. What can you do?
What do you do for holiday basketball? But get the games on the air. But it'll be fun today, man.
We got high-level
basketball on this radio station today with some good teams.
And
man.
Last night, too. The last 2 days have been great for us on the air. There's been, you know, a lot of good teams. I think, obviously, Byron and Sherrard, Kewaunee's good, Mercer County's good. And then today with Beecher and then West Hancock playing Rock Ridge. And then potentially, hopefully, we get the championship later with Rock Ridge and either Macomb or Camp Point Central. It'd be great, I said it earlier, if we could get three championship games across 2 days. I don't think we've ever done that before. So, and I'm hoping this year we get two regional championship games on the same night. We've never done that before either.
That'd be awesome, man. Yeah. I think there's a good chance maybe that's going to happen here in 2024. All right, a lot coming up. We'll hear from Eric Hutchins, AJ Alex Johnson, and then we'll get some district scheduling react. We didn't get it on last week with Tanner Matlick and Brandon Johnston. It's the WMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Who doesn't love new kicks? When you need new footwear, come to 6140 Run in Galesburg. They have just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Not sure? Grab a 6140 Run gift card. 6140 Run has the perfect fit for everyone. 6140 Run for the holidays, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
We're at the inaugural Mike Hutchins Holiday Classic at Sherrard High School talking with Eric Hutchins. So as we said, the Mike Hutchins Holiday Classic in its first year this year. Eric Hutchins, what does that mean to you, the namesake of this tournament with your dad?
It means the world to our family. We're excited. He's smiling from above today. He's been gone for 11 years. But my dad was a basketball junkie, but he was also a guy that sports was an integral part to keep kids out of trouble. And he was dean of students, so... He saw the benefits of interscholastic athletics.
Well, I know. So my dad, talking about you, he says that when Eric Hutchins cuts himself shaving, he bleeds purple. And I'm sure you kind of got that from your dad, as you said. He spent time here as the athletic director across the 80s and the 90s, 20 years as an administrator and teacher in the building. So, you know, is that kind of where the love of Sherrard athletics comes from for Eric Hutchins?
Yeah, I grew up my first game. I did official scorebook when I was 10 years old, cleaned up garbage, watered the football field. I mean, my love for Sherrard is deep-rooted because of his love growing up in his family.
So tell us a little bit about how this tournament came to be. We see you working at the scores table doing the public address announcing. It looks like you have kind of a role helping everybody get everything set up here before the first game of the tournament. So tell us a little bit the story about how this came to be, how the name came to be, and just the excitement level of hosting this thing.
My sister and I, Jackie, the teacher here at Sherrard, we approached Mr. Warrington and Alex Johnson about what can we do to honor my dad. And this came about, they thought about it, got back to us, and they said, hey, we'll call the classic after you. And I went out and got sponsors for him. I helped him raise him some good money for this, to do the things that they want to do for this first annual tournament.
And for me, I think that, like, holiday basketball is such a great thing in the state of Illinois. I know Iowa doesn't have it, but I think the holiday tournaments are super fun. So over the next couple of days here, the tournament runs 2 days, Thursday and then into Friday. Looking forward to being around holiday basketball at Sherrard High School?
Next 2 days where I'm going to be every day. I won't miss a game. There's no place I'd rather be today. So.
And for you, you know, I know, obviously, like you said, your dad's been gone for 11 years. What would it mean to him knowing that there's a holiday basketball tournament, Sherrard, named after him?
I don't know if he would he'd be appreciative, but he'd tell you all about the people that behind the scenes that got him to where he was. So that's the kind of person he was. He didn't want the fame. He just wanted to, you know, want everybody else to get recognition.
It's the first annual Mike Cutchins Holiday Classic at Sherrard High School. That's Eric Cutchins joining us on WRMJ. Eric, thanks for talking with us, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Ty.
And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Who doesn't love new kicks? When you need new footwear, come to 6140 Run in Galesburg. They have just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Not sure? Grab a 6140 Run gift card. 6140 Run has the perfect fit for everyone. 6140 Run for the holidays, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor back on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Free basketball last night, they say, right? Overtime for the championship of the Mike Cutchins Holiday Classic, won by the Byron Tigers. We get post-game react from Sherrard Tiger head coach Alex Johnson.
All right, back at Sherrard High School tonight. It was an overtime game. Byron wins it 46-37, and we bring in Alex Johnson, head coach of Sherrard. Just kind of the immediate reaction to tonight's game.
It was a fun environment. I mean, for the first year to have this tournament and then have a championship game played in that way with two teams that are really good, and you know, they're undefeated, and now we're two lost team. I think that that's really good for our area in terms of small school basketball, and so that's really good. I mean, obviously we wanted to win the game, but I mean, I thought our kids played well in spurts. They played tremendously hard. They did what they had to stay in the game. We just didn't make enough winning plays, unfortunately, tonight.
And let's start with kind of perimeter shooting tonight, one for whatever from beyond the arc. And I thought, even, you know, in the first quarter, I thought your three first looks to the basket from beyond the arc were point blank, wide open, and just couldn't get it to go. Now, the only three you made gave you the lead at the end of the first, 7-5. So you got good looks, but yeah, it was a night where you just couldn't hit a key perimeter shot tonight.
Shooting's contagious, and so we didn't hit early, and that with our team, it's really been that way. You know, we hit two or three, or we hit eight or nine in the game, and so, you know, the first couple didn't go for us, and then what happens is that we stopped looking at the rim, you know, and so good shooters weren't looking at the rim, especially in crucial times. Then they're, you know, trying to do too much on top of that. But, yeah, I mean, that's one of those things. You just hope that ball goes in and you build a little confidence. But, unfortunately, tonight it just didn't happen.
You know, on the pregame show you said, you know, something like it looks like they have five twins playing with the exact same frames, and you saw a lot of that. And predominantly, for most of the minutes tonight, they played that 1-3-1 look. Now, they went man-to-man a few times, I thought, in the first half, but stayed with that look. What did you think in terms of your response to them playing that style tonight?
I mean, we knew that that was a possibility, and we tried to rep it. And, you know, as a coach, I got to take the primary blame for just not having us be able to execute against the 1-3-1. Haven't really seen the 1-3. You know, obviously we repped it in practice a little bit, but their 1-3-1 looks a lot different than our 1-3-1 in practice. And so I don't think that some of our stuff was great against it, but we were trying to draw some stuff up on the board that we didn't execute very well. But that's just kind of a sign of, you know, where we're at as a team right now. We will get better against it. But it was just kind of one of those games where, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of flow with it, that both teams were competing really hard. So they were actually man on misses, but there wasn't very many clean misses where we could push the basketball, because a lot of times it ended up in a foul or they'd make the shot or whatever. So with that said, I mean, obviously that we got to execute better against that type of defense, because if we want to make a run in the postseason, we'll probably run into something like that again.
So I had you unofficially for 18 turnovers, and I think the last five were all at inopportune times. I know it was 32-31. You were down a point with the ball, turned it over, and then, you know, early in the overtime, some costly miscues. And that's tough when you walk out of here tonight and lose this game, 46-37. 18 turnovers, still a chance to win, but, you know, when you have that crooked number, it's just, and you're playing a good team like Byron, it's just tough to overcome that.
Right, and that's just trying to do too much, right? The guys are just trying to do too much with it, and so they're passing down shots and then trying to attack and not really see it. And then when you get down by 3, 4, or 5 points late in the game, your vision, you kind of get tunnel vision, so guys weren't necessarily seeing the ball and, you know, not looking the spots that they should have. So, I mean, credit Byron for doing that to us, but, you know, the thing of it is your bad habits show late in the game. Right. So if you're not doing it all the time in practice, ripping the ball off the floor, ball faking, pivoting, all that type of stuff, and the most critical times, that's usually when it shows. And unfortunately, that happened tonight to us.
Well, and I thought then, you know, on a big time positive here tonight, where you're playing a 36 minute game and you hold them to 46 points, 35 through regulation, 13 in the first half. I thought really solid defensively against this team tonight that had a lot of points. And you would say, if we hold them to 35 in regulation, we have a pretty good chance of walking out of this gym maybe with a win. And I thought, through regulation, you probably did. So, defensively, a solid effort tonight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's just, you know, our offense is getting better, but, you know, you face different defenses. And so tonight we faced defense that made us uncomfortable. But, you know, I think it's getting better. A lot of it's just going to be confidence and fine-tuning stuff. But, yeah, defensively, I thought the kids played really well. I mean, if you looked at some of the Byron stuff and scores that they played, most of the games they're up by 30 at halftime. You know, they put up 60, 70 points pretty easy. And so I thought we really guarded. I mean, give credit to number 10, Tucker, because he buried every big shot that he had to. I mean, he was kind of the difference maker. We're trying to get some big shots to go down that couldn't. He hit those big shots. And the big thing, I guess, is defensively, not to be too critical, it's just late in the second quarter, or we started getting heavy legs and they got easy shots. And so they got a lot more easier shots late in the game. And that was kind of one of the big deciding factors.
So the other thing I noticed tonight, turnover-wise, you know, you're playing against that 1-3-1 zone. Three seconds, the lane call. Now, I didn't notice them other than the call, and I think they had two. So five of those called tonight. I haven't seen that in a long time. And then, you know, the other thing, when you, I hate to bring it up, but, you know, when you try to beat a quality opponent like this, there's just little things that add up to the big things, which is the end result. And I thought in the third quarter was a big quarter, because you missed five free throws in every stinking point in this game means something. I just 7 of 12 in the third quarter.
You know, there's four things in basketball you really want to pay attention to: how well you shoot, how well you take care of the ball, how well you rebound, and your free throws, right? And at least I thought we rebounded the ball. I was really nervous about rebounding the ball against the team. I thought we did pretty well against it for most of the game. But, yeah, those other two areas, you know, the free throws, we missed some opportunities to turn the ball over. And when you do that and you're playing a state-ranked team, you know, it's, you know, you got to have all cylinders clicking. And unfortunately tonight we just came up a little bit short.
All right, so here's the other thing that I tell people about the new rule this year. And the new rule looms large in games like this. And it's going to be interesting in the postseason games, where you have these hotly contested games. Because I learned something new tonight I wasn't sure about. And I said, huh, I wonder what the rule is in overtime with the foul situation. Is it a carryover where it's a double bonus, or do you reset? And I didn't know.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting dynamic to that rule where it's a carryover where you're in the double bonus.
Yeah.
I don't know. I shouldn't say the double bonus. There's no such thing as bonus anymore. I don't know if I like that or not. And then you look at the tail of two quarters. In the third quarter, a bunch of fouls.
Yeah.
There's no carryover to the fourth quarter with a reset. And then a completely different style in the fourth quarter where there's a minute left and each team has two fouls apiece.
Yeah.
And in the third quarter, you know, what were there? You would have been in the double bonus from the third quarter on in the old rules with the seven team fouls. So to me, this is a big dynamic of these really close games when two good teams get together. I mean, you kind of noticed that?
Until you brought it up, I didn't really think about it because, you know, the old way, you know, your fouls carried over. But it does make a little bit of sense because it is so, you know, you're playing 4 minutes. And so, you know, one hand check foul to start the half or the overtime, you know, that's really two points. So I would say that, you know, that might be something that they want to look at. You know, you get an extra timeout when you go to overtime. And so that would be something. Maybe you go down to three fouls or you go down to four fouls, you know, but you get a little bit of grace in there because those are really critical plays. Now you got to play four more minutes without any foul. And, you know, refs have a difficult job and it's tough, depending on how the game goes.
All right. So, man, a good game tonight. And, you know, James Blackwell with a huge play as time expired to send you into OT. Anything else, you know, you think about this game you need to mention? I want to make sure I got everything covered here tonight on the podcast.
No, I mean, I think we're doing good as a team. I mean, you really want to win those. And the thing of it is that you really got to kind of remember is just we're not there yet. And so the yet is the key word. And so we're going to have cracks at really good teams here in the second half of the season. Probably let one slip away tonight. But the idea is, you know, just kind of that competitive spirit. And, you know, this group is a really fun group. I think Sherrard fans are buying into it. The community's buying into it. And I think that we're not even close to playing our best basketball yet. So we'll see. We'll see what next week and the new year brings for us.
All right. We'll be out here Wednesday night when you take on the Orion Chargers.
All righty. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you.
What a game tonight between Sherrard and Byron. Two very good teams. Byron goes to 11-0. Sherrard drops to 11-2. And as we wrap up here, just looking at the individual scoring in this overtime game, Carson Boozer with 4 points tonight, 15 for Ryan Tucker, 13 of those in the second half. He was averaging 23 coming in, limited to just 2 points from the line in the first half. But, man, he made some big shots, right, when the game is on the line. Kaysen Newton tonight, he finishes with 8. Jack Hively fouled out with 6. Braylon Kilduff, he finishes with 4. Caden Considine is a nice role player off the bench for them. 6-foot sophomore finished with 9 points off the bench tonight. He really proved to, I think, kind of be a difference for them tonight. Made big shots in that second quarter. James Blackwell with 6. He extended this game with an attack basket in the paint, made it 35-35 to force overtime. 3 points for Jack Hattelstad. Noah Fender with 2. Solid defensively tonight for Fender. Holland Anderson, he finished with 8 points tonight. Ryland Carton, 9 points. Carter Brown, a solid game coming off sickness with 7 points tonight. Aiden Taran is a basket for 2 points again. Sherrard, though, 18 turnovers tonight. That third quarter from the line, 7 of 12. That was big tonight as well. Tigers of Sherrard led at 7-5 at the end of one, 14-13. They led by 1 at halftime. Trailed 29-25 at the end of 3 quarters of play. They were down 7 in that third quarter, pulled within 2. And then kind of hung around in the third quarter. They were down 32-31 with a ball, chance to take the lead, but some costly turnovers and back-to-back occasions. But in a 35-33 game, James Blackwell ties the game up 35-35. That's after Tucker went 1 of 2 from the line with 10 seconds remaining. But Sherrard turned the ball over early in overtime. Byron scores the first 6 points of OT, and they go on to win it by a final of 46-37, outscoring Sherrard 11-2 in that extra frame. Sherrard now 11-2 on the season. Byron ranked 9th in state. Good team, man. They go to 11-0. Sherrard back in action Wednesday night at home against Orion. That's a WRMJ broadcast game. And keep an eye on this Byron team. They're a quality ball club, to say the least. They'll be in action on Wednesday night. They have a road game in Woodstock, Illinois, taking on Woodstock North. And then next Friday, back in Big Northern play, where they take on the Rock Falls Rockets.
That conversation with Alex Johnson last night on the WRMJ Coach's Corner, and you're listening to WRMJ and
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Who doesn't love new kicks? When you need new footwear, come to 6140 Run in Galesburg. They have just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Not sure? Grab a 6140 Run gift card. 6140 Run has the perfect fit for everyone. 6140 Run for the holidays, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
This is Ty Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Getting reaction now from Sherrard football coach Brandon Johnston as this week the IHSA released that the district scheduling proposal for football was voted down by member schools. So, Coach Johnston, we'll start just kind of your initial reaction to the proposal being voted down.
Yeah, for us, I think it's good news. We're not in favor of it for a few different reasons. I think the biggest of which was probably the amount of travel that we were going to have to do, and maybe as important as anything, we likely would have lost at least one of Rockridge, Mercer County, and Orion, and those are pretty important games in my opinion for us to play every year and hopefully have some meaningful games with those teams and stuff like that. So those were probably the two biggest ones for us. Just not a lot of schools our size in this area. So I realize that, that's part of districts, for us, it wouldn't have been a good thing. So I was pretty pleased to see that it got voted down.
You talk about that. Now, obviously, in this proposal, Sherrard would have been, a 3A football team where, like you said, a lot of the area schools are 2A that you play now in the conference schedule. And I know one of the things that I heard from a lot of people who weren't in favor of it was there was no concrete, this is what the districts are going to look like. So basically, you were voting blind. I know you could look and say, okay, this is probably who we'd be with, but you wouldn't know officially until they put the districts out there. So how much of a hang-up was that, you think, for you and then just overall from other people you talked to, not knowing exactly what it was going to look like?
Yeah, for us, I think we had a pretty good idea that there just wasn't a lot of 3A teams in our area. So we knew that our travel would be increased. And, I'm not necessarily opposed to the idea of districts, but for us, it just didn't make a lot of sense. The blind thing was, certainly not a positive in my mind. I kind of compared it to, pick whatever random team at any level, college, pros, high school, whatever the case may be, and just say, okay, we're going to add a school to your schedule. But you don't get to find out who it is. You just have to accept the fact that they're a similar size. And personally, I'm just not a fan of that. We all have our pros and cons of this proposal and how we want our schedules to look and stuff like that. But, for me, I want to see it. If they would have come out with, with a projection or two and said, you know, it's going to be this or maybe even one of these two, you know, that would have given us a better idea. Still for us, it is pretty good chance it was going to involve a lot more travel and likely going to miss, like I said, at least one, if not maybe multiple of those local rival games. So probably wouldn't have made much of a difference for us, but, you know, still would have been nice to see what it would have looked like.
You mentioned those local rival games. You mentioned Orion, Rock Ridge, and then Mercer County joining the Three Rivers Athletic Conference next school year. So for you, you know, when you just look at your football schedule, I know you have what the next 2 years look like from the conference. What is it that you want out of your football schedule, you think, that maybe the conference schedule gives you that the districts didn't?
Yeah, you know, for us, those local rivalries at the small school football level especially, I think, are just so special for our school, our kids, our families, our communities. You know, the best crowd that, you know, it's only my third year here, but I heard the best crowd that we've had at Sherrard in a long time was our game that we hosted against Rock Ridge here this past season, and it was a heck of a football game, too. So, you know, to potentially lose those games, I know we had, I think it was two opportunities to schedule our local rivals. But again, if we want to play Rock Ridge, Mercer County, and Orion, which I certainly do, you know, we would have had to go without at least one of those three. You know, so those three games are real important to me, and you know, I'm not a big stickler on who we want to, who we're going to play and stuff like that. You know, obviously I don't want to travel 2.5 hours across the state to play a district game, which is, very possible if this would have passed, but, you know, I want those local rivalries. I think they're important for our kids, our communities. You know, travel for us again was a big sticking point, but, you know, I just think that those small school local rivalries are, it's what makes high school football special, in my opinion. So, you know, I'm certainly glad we get to keep those.
And then another thing, when you look at this proposal, I think that's, I heard that for the junior varsity level that the scheduling was going to be up to the school, where you wouldn't necessarily play the district schedule at the JV level, because I know, you know, those games are predominantly played on Mondays, where, like you said, a lot of the districts, there would be some pretty heavy travel for a lot of schools. Was there much talk about what like the JV level would look like? Because I didn't really hear anything concrete on that in this proposal.
Yeah, I could be wrong. I thought I read that those games were, you know, I can't remember the exact wording, but those games were going to be attempted to be played just like your varsity schedule, which to me makes sense, but also in our specific situation would be even more of a reason to vote this down. You know, having our kids you know, travel again 2+ hours away on a Monday night for a game, if that's what it was supposed to be, you know, that's not in the best interest of kids. And again, I totally respect the fact that, you know, everybody's got their own pros and cons of this, but for us, there were just a heck of a lot of negatives that would have come from it more than likely. And, you know, like I said, real happy with the results and, you know, excited for our track schedule next year.
And this is, I think, the third time since 2018 that this has been up for a vote. So in 2018, initially, districts passed, and then the next year it got voted back down, got back on the ballot again this year, voted down. I know, you know, we talked a little bit last week, and you said you had some experience with district scheduling. That's how they did it when you coached in Arizona. So do you think that this could pass maybe at some point down the line with the right proposal? Or what do you kind of look, or I should say, what do you think the future looks like in terms of, you know, football scheduling at the IHSA level?
Yeah, I think a few things. You know, I had experience as an athletic director in Arizona, and they had district scheduling and still do. They have a 10-game regular season schedule, and I think about half of those games were district games. So for me, that would be a positive, I think, you know, giving us even 3 or 4 weeks where we could schedule our own kind of non-district opponents, you know, that allows us, at least at Sherrard, to keep those games that are important to us if they were not already in our district. So, like I said, I'm not necessarily opposed to district scheduling. I just don't think that it's in the best interest of our kids. I don't think it's going away. You know, people are always going to fight for what they feel is best for their school and their kids and their communities, and there's obviously a lot of support for district football in Illinois. So, you know, I don't think it's going away by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, hopefully if it comes back around and, you know, if it does eventually pass, obviously we just hope that it's a well-written and fair proposal. And, you know, we'll play whoever's on our schedule. You know, like I said, I'm not too concerned about, you know, who exactly do we have weeks 1 through 9, but those local rivals are pretty important to us here at Sherrard.
Absolutely, Coach Brandon Johnson, looking forward to it. I think next year you start Rockridge week 1, Mercer County week 2, so that should be a pretty fun start to the 2024 season for the Tigers, right?
Yeah, no question. We got to be ready to roll with those two games, and I think week 3 is Princeton. Not that we have any reason to look past our week 1 game at Rockridge, but follow that up with Mercer County and Princeton. Our kids got to be ready to go, and they know that. They've certainly been told that already this offseason, so we're excited for it.
All right, Brandon Johnson joining us, head coach of the Sherrard Tigers football program. Coach, thanks for talking with us.
Yeah, thanks, Ty. I appreciate it.
And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
Well, we're speaking with Mercer County High School head football coach Tanner Matlick. Hot off the presses, the IHSA announcing the district scheduling bylaw amendment proposal is defeated. Tanner Matlick, what does that mean to you?
You know, it's exciting news in the sense that we're still locked into the track schedule that we had anticipated for 2024 and for the foreseeable future. I know there's a lot of hype surrounding that schedule for us with Rockridge, Orion, Sherrard, some of the old Olympic Conference opponents. So, yeah, excited that we get to stay at home in the track and don't have to worry about modified schedules for 2024 and try to refocus on who we might be playing that upcoming season. So, yeah, in my opinion, it's great news for the Mercer County football program.
And was that really, I think, you know, some of the things I heard from coaches around the state is that, one, there's always going to be an issue with conference affiliation just because of enrollment issues, geography, that type of stuff. I don't think that's ever going to end. But what I heard about one of the concerns kind of going into the vote was, well, what is district scheduling going to look like? We've seen, you know, basically the one kind of model from a newspaper reporter, Steve Soucy, who does a pretty good job of covering it, but it's not the official, you know, what does the district schedule look like? What do you think that was one of the big issues, not really knowing what the thing was going to look like?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially from my end, in our athletic director's perspective, we didn't get a good, and nobody across the state got a good idea of what district they would be playing in, where the lines would be drawn. One of the big restraints we had was it sounded like our junior varsity football program would be basically scheduling its own games outside of our district. So, yeah, there was a few red flags with the proposal. One being there was just a kind of a lack of detail on where the lines would be drawn and who would be in what districts. And so, yeah, it was just I don't think we had enough information to feel really confident about voting at yes. And you kind of saw that across the state. And when you talk to a lot of the coaches in the area, I think that was the same sentiment that they were feeling as well.
And then I think the one interesting thing that would have occurred then is if it would have been adopted, then waiting for the schedule to come out and say what district we are in, because we're talking here on December 19th. And, you know, when you really think about it, you know, there's only, you're talking about maybe what, 8 months to kind of get a schedule together for everyone in the whole state of Illinois.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the big challenges that the IHSA faced in getting this passed is there was a lot of coaches, obviously, myself included, that have already started the preparation, and a lot of athletic directors that have started preparation for the 2024 fall sports season, one of those main sports being football. So, yeah, there was just a lot of unknowns going into the proposal, and, yeah, it would have been very challenging to pivot to a new district and get all of that planned, especially from our administration's perspective. So I think, yeah, that's definitely one of the reasons why it didn't pass.
All right. Anything else you can think of that I didn't ask you that you need to mention about this?
No, I don't think so. I talked to our athletic director briefly about it. We were kind of on the same page all the way through. And my message to him was, look, I'll row the boat whatever direction you think we need to vote this thing. And my job is to focus on getting our football team and our kids prepared to compete in 2024. So whoever the schedule would have been, my job was to get us ready for 2024. And I'm excited to be in track still and that we have a solid schedule for the upcoming season.
Reaction to the district scheduling proposal going down by IHSA membership. in those conversations that Tanner Matlick there, Mercer County head football coach, and of course you also heard from Brandon Johnston, head football coach of the Sherrard Tigers. You're listening to WMJ, WMJ.com.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Who doesn't love new kicks? When you need new footwear, come to 6140 Run in Galesburg. They have just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Not sure? Grab a 6140 Run gift card. 6140 Run has the perfect fit for everyone. 6140 Run for the holidays, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor, Ty Taylor on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. How many people were listening today, do you think?
Well, I got a few texts. Morgan Brott.
Morgan Brott from grew up coach. In Joy, Illinois, yep. Former Westmer quarterback, point guard for Darren Bazzari.
Right.
And his high school football coach, did he play for Marty Sanders, I wonder?
I have no idea.
Our Bob Stockham.
Also, here's the thing, too, that I want to mention. So there was a moment in the hospitality room at Erie after Mercer County beat Fulton the other night where it was the people that were in there were me, Coach Seedam, Coach Brott, and Brandon Hoffman, one of Mercer County's assistants, and then his son, Court Hoffman, the little manager. Yeah. Court's my favorite person to talk to. He's a very smart young man. And then it was myself, as I mentioned, Pat Lower, Fulton's football coach and official extraordinaire. I think he's officiating the championship game tonight, by the way, over at Erie. And then Patrick, my cousin, who did the broadcast with me that night, was in there. And what was the subject of conversation, you think? Aledo Green Dragon boys basketball from back in the day. Brandon brought up Pat's shot against Westmer
in 1993.
Coach Seedam said his older brother,
regional.
His older brother played on that team, and so he said he's like a fifth grader, so he was in the gym for that game.
That still for me in the many years I've ever done it was the most compelling. Three nights? The semifinals were two different nights, and then the finals were that gym in. Those three nights.
It was at Aledo, right?
Yeah.
And it was Aledo versus Westmer.
Yeah, in the semifinals. And then you had Sherrard, who had went to state the year prior, taking on Orion, who was coached by Scott Olson, and they had a really good team. And I think Orion won the league that year. And Orion upset, I still call it an upset, upset Sherrard. And then Aledo beat Westmer on the last second
that
shot.
That was in the semifinals?
Yes.
Oh, so who won the regional championship that year?
Aledo. They beat Orion, and I remember that game the next night. It was like just a tremendously slow start for both of those teams, really low scoring, and then Aledo took control in the second
half.
And
that was the last time Aledo / Westmer / Mercer County has won a boys basketball regional, right? Was that year?
The next year.
Next year they won another
one. So that was those kids were juniors that year. And that year... So in this, Farmington had the dominant run in basketball in the early to mid 90s, but I remember Aledo beat them 5 out of 6 times and swept them in the sectional 2 years in a row. Can believe that. And Farmington was loaded then. And that year, they came up to Aledo, and this was maybe their first game in the conference against Aledo, and it was a snowy night. It was either a Friday or a Saturday. And potentially the game, you know, could have been canceled. And Farmington was ranked number 1 in state
and came up here and lost to Alito.
Holy cow.
And then Alito went down there and played in the barn the 1 year, and that's when Todd Fry hit a game-winning shot and Pat Lower had 7 threes.
Right.
And that's where you broadcast right in front of the Farmington Pep Band on the balcony.
So look at how much we got sidetracked after just mentioning Morgan Brott. Also, another person who was listening, Beecher head coach Tyler Shireman was listening from Rock Falls. He asked, he told us we were right about the connection with Kevin Hayhurst. So Coach Hayhurst, also an assistant on the basketball staff for Coach Shireman, and it is his son who is in the starting lineup for Beecher.
It is here. This is what I'm going to offer Coach Hayhurst. What's his name again?
Which one? Coach Shireman, and then Hayhurst is the softball coach who's the assistant.
Yeah. So I'm going to offer them. So they're here in January.
Yeah.
So they're playing Saturday and Monday. Are they? I wonder if they're staying.
I would assume they. I mean, that'd be a heck of a trip to make
Saturday,
two
Monday
times
though.
Over 3 days. But I'll ask him tonight. Yeah.
And if they want to come to the WRMJ studios, which are basically 35-40 minutes from the Quad Cities, if you're staying there,
right?
You can come out here and sit. Can we call it Showcase Studios?
Yeah,
Showcase Studios in downtown Alito. Maybe the Christmas tree, gigantic Christmas tree, will still be up.
Yeah, it's over Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, so by then I'm sure people will start complaining about, why is that Christmas tree still up?
So they can come in studio with us, and we can talk about high school sports or whatever they want to talk about.
Although they do play on that Saturday. So
is it what time of the day do they play? Do you know when they start playing?
It's like early afternoon. So I don't know. I don't know if they'd be here yet, though.
Yeah. So anyway, we'd offer them that.
Right. I'll have to ask him tonight, so he'll be like, the worst decision I ever made was texting him that I was listening. But they have a very good team, and I'm excited.
Well, here's the question. Name me how many radio stations across the state that are doing live local radio talking high school sports on a Saturday morning at 10-11.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Not many. And we had this is our second Beecher Bobcat broadcast of the 2023 calendar year. We had him in the state championship game in softball in the summer, in early June, and then we'll end the year. Well, not maybe we'll end the year with it. We could potentially have one game after it with Rock Ridge if they get the title game. But yeah, like we said earlier, they're really impressive, and I'm really excited for Mercer County to get a chance to see where they stack up against a team that's 15-0 tonight.
Yeah, I'm curious. Is Beecher, are they loaded in softball again this?
Well, their best player is a freshman.
Oh, yeah.
Lauren Zotti. They didn't have a lot of upperclassmen. Lauren Zotti's her name. She's very good.
They're going to be probably at Eastside. What's it called? Eastside Center?
Louisville Slugger.
Or Louisville Slugger.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. And now we're sidetracked talking about their softball team. Ava Lauren Zotti's their pitcher. She's a freshman. I remember this stat because it was incredible. She entered the state championship game this year as a freshman. 7 earned runs in 141 innings.
Jeez. Now you're going to get texts from John Nelson, Keith Bogner,
hopefully
Glenn
listening.
Cook, and the new Sherrard softball coach.
Right, yeah. So we'll see.
And wait a minute. And the Merman, Dustin Murray. I saw Dustin Murray's tweet, by the way, that he was grilling. Was it chicken on his grill?
It was like fajitas, I think. Yeah, he
must have got a brand new grill for Christmas.
Yeah, he tweeted that. Just he used me for clout so people would see he has this great new grill. Come on, man. Also, but I will say Coach Murray was worried about me. He wanted to make sure I had like tissues with me in case I got another bloody nose last night.
I wanted Patrick Lower to do the postgame show.
I had him because it was like I thought I was going to pass out. Also, our equipment bag now is loaded with a box of Kleenex, because if I get another bloody nose.
Was that your mom that put that in there?
No, it was me. I did it myself. I bought because I thought, man. Anyway, that's a whole other story nobody wants to hear about. But it looked like I got punched in the face. Like I wish I could have taken a picture or like a video of when Coach Cheatham walked up and he came around the corner and saw me.
Well, then he should have turned around and walked
away. I know.
Away.
He walked up and he's like, Jesus.
What happened to you, son?
He's like, what happened? And then he said that his post-game interview started so funny because he said, he's like, I walked up here and it looked like a murder scene. There's like, and I looked at where we were broadcasting. There's like dried blood on the floor. I'm like, yeah, that's my mark at Erie High School.
Well, they had to call the ambulance, and then they take you to the ambulance. What's that hospital that's located next to Roscoe Eads Stadium?
No, I don't know. Yeah, it's a nice one. It's Sterling. Yeah. Right there.
Where are you parking at? By the hospital.
Well, yeah, but then when they have those.
Newman kicks off at one against the Rockets.
But when they have those like big crowds over there, you can't park at the hospital because they need it, obviously, for, like, the patients and everything. So they always got to make sure that, like, when the Golden Warriors have a big six game, that the people from Moline don't park in the hospital parking lot.
And here's the other thing that I love about Newman, and then we got to wrap up here. Football, I think it's during the postseason or maybe special occasions like homecoming. They you know what's great about them? You know what they have in their press box?
They have it every week.
Candlelight and Jan sauce.
They had it there when we did the game against Sherrard in week two this season. One other thing about Newman, and then we can wrap up, I guess, is
people get mad at Coach Sharp.
One of my favorite things is Coach Sharp for them. He films every game. Does. It's amazing. And the thing that's so funny is he even will have like an assistant coach that'll film for him when he's like off doing something else. Because they played last night against Erie Prophetstown, right? They win, and then he goes in the locker room, walks out. And I'm walking behind him up the balcony to get to where we broadcast from, and he's got his backpack on. I'm like, well, I wonder what's in there. And he gets up, and he pulls out his tripod and his iPad and sets it up.
And see, I know some people, like, they get – I'm not saying they get mad, but it's like, they're, geez, man. I'm like, well, I respect him for it. The dude
right.
filming everybody to gain intel.
I love it too. And the thing that I thought was funny, now I don't haven't looked like their schedule too far ahead, but they win that game, their day's over for the day. And the next game is Riverdale versus Beecher, right? And Newman, I think, is a 1A boys basketball team, so they're not going to see Riverdale or Beecher in the postseason because they're both 2A. I would be stunned if they have Beecher on their schedule just because of the distance, obviously. And then, like, they might play Riverdale later in the year. That is potential, but it just, to me, I'm like, I looked at him like, I wonder if they even play these two teams, you know? But he's there, you know, from tip to... And then he's always in
And then his filing system must be impressive. Right. He's like, Beecher.
I'd love to see his like, file. Yeah, and then, like, you know, we see Newman at the... Which they play Mercer County at the Rock Falls shootout in a couple of the weeks. And I always like it there because he's always there. Yeah. Filming from the noon game to the 8 p.m. tip-off. So, yeah, that's my favorite thing about them, and I think he does a great job at Newman. They always have had success.
He's a tremendous coach, and I think the one thing that people don't realize, he's always been kind of under the radar because of what Poposi did as the head football coach for that program. Ray Sharp is a good basketball coach.
And Coach Sharp, too, I got to give him credit, and his assistants, they have been dressed the best this week.
Oh, unequivocally.
At Erie, they all have had, like, Newman Christmas sweaters on.
Really?
Yeah, and Coach Sharp's like lights up on the bench. So it's funny when he gets like upset about something because he's like yelling. He's got a Christmas lights.
Do we play them at Rock Falls Shootout?
Yeah.
Mercer County does. Oh, that'll be a good matchup for the Eagles.
I think so. Yeah,
that's what next weekend
next
or
Saturday the 6th of January.
And then we got the girls at a shootout next week.
Yeah, they play at the Illinois-Iowa shootout. I forget.
They get Wharton or Carver.
I think it's at Carver.
Oh, good for the... And that's Coach Engwall's, of course, alma mater. That'll be nice.
5 a.m.
Who they play?
I forget.
They play Wilton, something like that?
It might be.
It's an Iowa-Illinois matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a great opportunity for those kids.
I think it's Wilton, but I don't know. I've been so buried this week with everything going on that people got upset with me because I don't have our full January sports broadcast schedule ready to go yet.
Who's getting upset?
Everybody. What are we doing? I'm like, well, I told you what we were doing the first week already, but I guess nobody wrote that down. So let me recap it again. Here's what it is. If anybody's wondering, we'll have boys basketball Tuesday,
Wednesday, Thursday,
Rock Ridge and Riverdale. Wednesday, we have boys Sherrard and Orion. Thursday, I forget what we're doing. Friday is Sherrard and Erie Prophetstown. Saturday is that aforementioned shootout doubleheader with Mercer County and Newman and boys and Mercer County and Wilton potentially. I think that's who they play in girls. So what a fun week. There is a game Thursday. It's a girls game. I don't remember who it is though.
All right. So what am I doing next Saturday then? Have we figured that out yet?
We haven't set that up yet. We'll have to figure that out.
Okay, because I got the text last night at 12:31 a.m. Hey, I think you're going to Macomb.
Yeah, and that was for me. It was, of course. Don't throw anyone else here under the bus. I couldn't sleep because I was worried about what we were going to do. And it's, like I said, I got that email from the Byron guy earlier wanting the copy of our broadcast from last night. I emailed him back 2 minutes later at 12:13 a.m. and then I texted you and I said, "Will you go to Macomb?" I want, and I did that selfishly because I want to like sleep a little bit today. before I head to Erie. I haven't slept enough this week, man.
Yeah, that should be a fun day. Can get a, that'd be a nice dub for the
Eagles today, man. It should be good. I think it'll be competitive, but it's a tough task with Beecher. But, yeah, it should be fun tonight.
Yeah, and I hope a lot of fans can go to the game from Mercer County. We need that.
Right.
Listen to these fans.
Yeah.
All right. I think we covered it all. Again, our schedule for today coming up, 1 o'clock tip for the Rockets against West Hancock, and they win. They'll play at 9:30 tonight for the championship against either Camp Point Central or who's Camp? I forget. Macomb. That's who they're playing.
They play Macomb.
So hopefully we have a full day of basketball. And again, Mercer County at around 7:30 tonight in action against Beecher playing for the title at the Workins Memorial Classic. So anything else, Ty? That's it.
I have nothing else to say until 7 p.m. tonight.
All right. That'll do it for the WRMJ Sports Line. For Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor, WRMJ Sports.
This has been Sports Line on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 614-0 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, Office Specialists in Galesburg, and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more, and by your local Country Financial representatives Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.